Today we're going to think about the Psalm 111. This is a fairly short psalm, so we will read all the verses. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth for ever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast for ever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant for ever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. This psalm begins a little set of three psalms, which commences with the same line. In the English it is translated, praise the Lord. This is actually the Hebrew word hallelujah, and we often use the word hallelujah when singing. A number of our songs and choruses contain the words hallelujah. Well, this is what hallelujah means, praise the Lord. So at the very beginning of the Psalm 111, the psalmist states his intention, I am going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Something else about this psalm that's worthy of note is that it is an acrostic psalm. While this psalm in the English version only has 10 verses, in the Hebrew manuscript, this psalm has 22 lines. Actually, 23 lines. But 22 lines after the first line. The first line is like a title, praise the Lord, hallelujah. The psalmist is stating his intention, and then it is followed by 22 lines, and each of these 22 lines in the Hebrew version begins with a different letter from the Hebrew alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet goes Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, He, Vav. So the first line after hallelujah will begin with the Aleph, the second line will begin with the Beth, so on to the very end of the psalm. Now this is not an uncommon method that the Hebrew poets employed, and they probably employed this method to help the people remember what they were singing. If every line begins with a different letter of the alphabet, well, by knowing the alphabet, there was a memory aid there. So without a doubt, there was the intention that the people should learn the song. They should learn what they were singing. They should become very, very familiar with it, because it would be spiritually refreshing, spiritually edifying. It is a good thing to praise God. This is what we can learn from all of this. Some of the details may appear technical, but we are being taught that we should learn Scripture, we should commit it to heart, and we should take time to praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The word Lord here, which is contained in the hallelujah, is the name Jehovah, the most sacred of all the Hebrew names for God. God's name is a special name. We praise the Lord because his name is special. He isn't the fellow next door. He isn't the lady across the street. He is special. Therefore, he is to be revered. And this is what the psalmist says in the verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to fear God. Holy and reverent is his name. Verse 9. Sometimes the only occasion when certain individuals use the name of God is as a swear word, as a blasphemy. Never use the sacred name of God or the name of Christ or the name of the Holy Spirit as a flippant word, as a blasphemy, as a swear word. It's a grievous sin. God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You will be held guilty for taking God's name in vain. Let us instead use the name of God in our praises and in our worship. What are we to praise God for? This psalm tells us to praise God for his works. Verse 2, the works of the Lord are great. The psalmist says, stop, look around, look up, consider the works of God. Examine your own life, consider the works of God, and say to God, your works are great. The work of creation is great. He fashioned the sun. He set the moon in its orbit as a light by night. He gives us the warmth and he sends the rain. He gives us our food. All of God's works are great. His plan for our lives is great. He makes no mistakes. We make many mistakes, but he makes none. And therefore we are told in the verse 3, his work is honourable and glorious. His work is honourable. So much of what we do is dishonourable. So much of what man does is hypocritical, it's devious. But everything that God does is honourable. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and are done in truth and uprightness. We're given a picture here of a God who is in control of this world, who is no absentee landlord. Irish church history is plagued by absentee landlords. Landlords who spent most of their time in England, who cared little for their land or their tenants here in Ireland. But God is no absentee landlord. God made the heavens and the earth, and God is very much involved in his creation even now at this time. Even though man rebels against him, still God is involved, and he cares about us, and he cares about our lives. Therefore verse 5 says, he hath given meat unto them that fear him. He gives us our food. He supplies our needs. He fulfills that little prayer that we are encouraged to offer, give us this day our daily bread. As you sit down for a meal, do you thank God for the food that you have been given? How good the Lord is. But this psalm focuses upon the love of God. In all of his works, God is love. He is compassion. We're told in the verse 5, he is gracious and full of compassion. And we are told in verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. Mercy, compassion, redemption. Powerful words, gospel words. What does redemption mean? Redemption reminds us of the night when the children of Israel left Egypt. It was the Passover night. The angel of death was coming to judge the Egyptians, and the children of Israel were told to kill a lamb, to sprinkle the blood upon the doorposts, paste it upon the lintels of their houses. When the angel of death passed over Egypt, the firstborn of the Egyptians would die, but in every house of Israel where the blood was applied, there would be no death, there would be life. And so it was, Israel were spared. They were redeemed. Redemption means to purchase. Purchased by what? The blood of a lamb. The same time of the year at the Passover time. The one whom John the Baptist described as the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who went to the cross and he shed the blood. And as he died, the soldier plunged the spear into his side and out flowed blood and water. And that was the very price of our redemption. Redemption not from an earthly slave master, but redemption from sin, redemption from the power of Satan, redemption from the curse of the law that cries out for our judgment because we have broken that law. God has been good in that he has provided a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. He has opened a door through which we may go in, and Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. Have you come as a sinner to Jesus? The works of God are truth. They are pure, they are honourable, and his greatest work is that plan of salvation with Christ at its heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can you really praise the Lord today as one who is forgiven? I thank you so much for listening.